look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's something some people probably don't like, the hack, and the guy always enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hack, and I used to love it as a kid growing up. I used to love watching it, and just it was intriguing for me.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. My name is Phil Egan. On the way, Nathan meets the under-21 player of the year that's pushing for a second senior cap this week. Gavin Bisounou ahead of schedule in his recovery. And Katie McCabe helps Arsenal to a big win away from home in the Women's Champions League. First up today, the Ireland squad will conclude their preparations for their Nations League game with Finland. One man pushing for inclusion this week is Andrew Moran, the midfielder spending this season on loan at Stoke and has been involved in all but one of their championship games, starting in 9 of them. Moran's bright start to the season was augmented by his recognition as the men's under-21 international player of the year. It's almost a year since the 21-year-old made his senior Ireland debut, and he'll hope to double his cap count this week. Moran took time out from his preparations to speak to our own Nathan Murphy, who began by asking him the burning question.
First thing first is, Andrew or Andy?
Formerly Andrew, or my mum would give out to me, so yeah, I'll go Andrew.
Coming into camp and seems in really good form, how are you excited to really show him or what you have?
Really excited. It's always good to be called up to the seniors. Yeah, I've had a couple now, so yeah, it's really good coming in with these boys. Looking forward to training and trying to impress, yeah.
Obviously you've played with the senior team already and you've been around with the 21s. When you were with the 21s over the last few camps, did you have many conversations with the senior coaching team?
No, not really, to be honest. I think it was probably the right thing to kind of keep that separate, to have all my focus on the 21s, because we were obviously trying to qualify and unfortunately we couldn't get it done. But yeah, I think it was better to kind of stay focused on that and not kind of worry too much about anything else going on.
What's your best role?
I like to say I'm like a creative midfielder, so I don't really mind where I play. I think wherever I play, I can kind of hopefully bring my strengths and help the team by doing the things that I'm good at. So I don't really mind, to be honest. I've been playing a bit deeper for Stoke recently, and I've quite enjoyed it. So yeah, anywhere in midfield, wide even sometimes, I'm quite easy.
Do you feel there's maybe an opportunity in that advanced midfield role? Because I think they've played 3 or 4 different players there over the last 3 or 4 games. Nobody's really settled in that role yet.
Yeah, I think we've got some brilliant players in all areas. So yeah, I think hopefully show my strengths, and yeah, if the gaffer thinks I'm right to play, then yeah, hopefully I can get in.
And where are you with Brighton at the moment? Have you had many conversations with the new manager over the summer in terms of what your long-term future there is?
Yeah, I spoke to him before I went out on loan. We were kind of just making sure that was the right thing to do, to go out on loan for the season. Just kind of said to focus on getting as many games as I can, getting as much experience as I can. And just like giving me little bits that I can work on that he wants me to improve on, and really positive. Yeah, really enjoyed pre-season back there. Yeah.
What sort of things did he talk about improving on?
Kind of all sorts, like in possession stuff, just the usual, just trying to be as consistent as I can. I think that was one thing I could have got better at from last season. I think I had some really good games and then some not so good games, so just kind of finding that level ground where I'm consistent week in, week out. And yeah, just defensive stuff like winning duels, just being really focused on my defensive game as well. Yeah, it's all really important.
Andrew, congratulations on your goal, first of all.
Thank you.
How have you improved at Stoke?
I think I've been playing a bit different sort of game recently because I've been playing a bit deeper. The manager's been really good with me. I've loved playing for him so far. He's really helped me with all my defensive stuff that probably doesn't come as naturally to me. I think I'm getting quite better off the ball, I'd like to say. So yeah, just stuff like that, just constantly playing with players that have played in the Championship loads in their career. Like, I'm learning loads, so yeah, it's been really good.
Gavin Bisounou could be set for a loan away from Southampton, as manager Russell Martin told the Daily Echo paper. The Ireland goalkeeper has resumed training on grass following an Achilles injury. Bisounou was sidelined by the injury in April, rupturing the tendon in the warm-up for their Championship game against Preston. The keeper can't be added to the Saints' official Premier League squad until January, as they already have 26 players over the age of 21. Summer signing Aaron Ramsdale is also out injured at the moment, meaning Alex McCarthy will deputise after the international break. Martin told the Echo they may decide in January that Bisounou requires games away from St Mary's Darragh Leahy has committed to a second season at Waterford. The left-back made 36 appearances in all competition for Keith Longside in the season just ended. Leahy was one of four players offered new deals at the RSC, along with midfielders Ben McCormack and Rowan McDonald and full-back Darragh Power. Wingers Connor Parsons and Chrissy Patterson were perhaps the two most surprising departures confirmed by the Blues. Patterson scored four times, Parsons on three occasions in the Premier Division this year. Connor Evans, Dean Lark and Jibemi Arubi, Joseph Ford, Niall O'Keefe, Robbie McCourt and summer arrival Sam Bellis are also surplus to requirements. Grant Horton, Kacper Rakowski and Padraig Amond are all to stay at the RSC for second seasons.
That's a great ball for Freedom Order to finish! Yes! What a goal! They have sliced Juventus apart! Stina Blackstenius going all the way! And Arsenal may just be going all the way to 3 points here in Turin. Is Mariana Caldente! Goodness me, what a finish to make it 3-0 to Arsenal. Across it goes, and they've got another one. Caitlin Ford, 4 for Arsenal.
Once more, City starting the second half with full throttle, and they have the opener to show for it. And on her Champions League group stage debut, it is Laura Blinkhilde-Brown finding the corner. Mwabi back in, and the second arrives. It was a matter of when, not if, Fugino would get in the score sheet. But City see it through. They made hard work of it at times.
As you heard there, a night of varying comfort for the WSL sides and Champions League action last night. Arsenal remained second in Group C after a 4-0 win away to Juventus. Frieda Manham put Arsenal 1-0 up in the first half. A few changes in the second half made all the difference. Two of the subs, Stina Blackstenius and Mariona Caldente, both scored before Caitlin Ford sealed a 4-0 win. Arsenal remain unbeaten under interim boss René Slagers and are 3 points behind Bayern Munich, who won 3-0 against Vålerenga. Manchester City made it 3 wins from 3 in Group D. The WSL leaders won 2-0 at home to Swedish side Hammarby. City are 3 points ahead of Barcelona. The holders put 7 goals past St. Poulton without reply. Tonight in Group B, Celtic follow back-to-back defeats with a game against WSL champions Chelsea. Former Rangers and Glasgow City midfielder Aaron Cuthbert is now with Chelsea and has been asked if this is a sobering introduction to Champions League group football for Celtic.
I certainly don't think it's a painful introduction. I think it's an incredible achievement that a Scottish team is in the group stages. I, for one, was once in the Glasgow team in the dressing room playing against Celtic all those years ago, and I certainly knew that wanted to, you know, give the best account of ourselves, put our best foot forward. We certainly didn't want to lie down at all. We wanted to show ourselves and how good we can be against the best teams in the world. And, you know, I've been in that dressing room. I know the motivation that would be in, that will be in that dressing room tomorrow night. And, you know, there'll be no complacency from us. But I think from Celtic's point of view, like, they've got nothing to lose. They're going to come at us and, you know, we have to be ready.
The English FA is now also looking into Premier League referee David Coates' apparent derogatory comments about Liverpool and their former manager Jurgen Klopp. He was suspended by governing body the PGMOL on Monday, pending an investigation after a video emerged on social media. A reference to Klopp's nationality was made in the recording, which is seen as an aggravating factor and could lead to a more serious punishment. Referees Chief Howard Webb says they are taking the matter very seriously.
We became aware, Leon, of a video that was being circulated on social media that we are taking very seriously. We've instigated a full investigation. One of our referees, David Coote, has been suspended with immediate effect pending the outcome of that investigation. There's not much more I can say at this stage until we've worked through that that investigation.
Howard Webb was on Sky Sports' Mic'd Up programme last night and also admitted West Ham shouldn't have been awarded a penalty during Erik ten Hag's final game in charge of Manchester United last month. David Coote was actually the referee in charge that day. He waved play on after Matthias de Ligt's challenge on Danny Ings, but West Ham were then given a penalty on the recommendation of the VAR official Michael Oliver. West Ham went on to score the penalty and win the game. Ten Hag was sacked less than 24 hours later.
I thought it was a misread, Leon, by the VAR. VAR that's normally really talented and reliable, but gets uber focused, I think, in this situation on De Ligt's leg. His leg coming through onto Danny Ings, not making any contact with the ball. The ball's already passed De Ligt as he makes contact with Danny Ings, and the VAR sees that as a clear foul. I think he was too focused on that aspect. I don't think he should have got involved. I think this is a situation where we'd leave the on-field decision as it is. Probably whichever way it's called, on balance, I don't think it's a penalty kick. I prefer no foul being given, no penalty. I prefer play on. But the VAR got super focused on one aspect, that swinging leg by De Ligt, and felt, therefore, that it was a penalty and a clear and obvious error not to award it.
You could hear the on-field referee saying play on. He didn't think it was a foul. How difficult is it for the on-field referee to stick with his original decision when he's being told to go to the monitor by somebody who's seen it multiple times?
Yeah, they're told that they are absolutely within their rights to keep the decision when they go to the screen. That's obviously part of the reason why they go, to make the final judgment. They can also manage the players in a better way once they've seen it for themselves. But of course, when they get sent to the screen, they know that they're going there for a reason. They're going there because, you know, a VAR has identified, in their opinion, a clear and obvious error. But of course, the VAR is a human who's analysing pictures in real time and making a judgment whether or not a clear error has happened. And that judgment could be wrong. It was in this case. So we do remind our referees, again, this was another example of saying the VAR could be wrong. Keep an open mind. And when you look at it with fresh eyes and make your own judgment. Was the on-field call clearly wrong? Do you need to change your call?
And speaking of United, Diego Forlan will make his professional tennis debut at his native Uruguay Open later on. The 45-year-old, who won the Premier League and FA Cup during his time at Old Trafford, will team up with Argentina's Federico Correa in the men's doubles.